Got a very special speaker tonight. James Wood is, we're having him his send off tonight, going to the Memphis School of Preaching. I believe he's leaving us in just over a week. We're excited for James, and hopefully each one of us will be keeping him in our prayers as he leaves us to go to Memphis to study God's Word in a rigorous 2-year program. And I want you to take special note tonight. I was expecting James to do a good job, but the next time that we hear him after tonight, I expect him to be that much better. He's going to go, as I said, through a rigorous 2-year program. They're going to be critiquing everything that he does, his speech, his English, all of that. He's going to be a refined speaker when he comes home to speak to us again. But I ask that you give James your special attention tonight as he brings to us the Word of God. James, go speak to us, brother.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's nice to see you here again. I'd also like to thank Josh and the elders for giving me this opportunity tonight. As Josh has already said, I have been accepted to the Memphis School of Preaching. And I thought it would be a nice idea to talk about things that, as Christians, we have to look forward to. So if you would open your Bible to Philippians, the 3rd chapter. Part of our text tonight will come from Philippians, the 3rd chapter, verses 13 and 14. Once again, that's Philippians, the 3rd chapter, verses 13 and 14. There it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." As I was planning on attending the Memphis School of Preaching, I had a lot of things that I had to look forward to. First off, I had to make sure that I did want to go to Memphis, and after I found out that I did, I had to get the application either over the internet or have them send it to me. After I filled it out and sent it back and found out that I was accepted, I had to start looking for support from congregations and from people that had the means or the willingness to support me. As Josh said, since it's so rigorous, I'm not going to be able to hold down a job, so I'm going to need people to assist me in this work as I prepare to become a preacher and use what I learn either as a preacher or to serve God. From there, I had to find out what time I would be leaving, how long the trip was, as well as what I would need to take, and also think of what I might be bringing back with me. The same thing happens in life. We all have things we need to look forward to. Some of us, marriage, others, kids. Some of us have made those steps, so we also have to look into a house, a dependable car. And then we also have those unexpected things like the loss of a loved one, or hospitalization, a car wreck, other stuff like that. And then even for those families that have children that are in anywhere in between kindergarten and 12th grade, most often you have to get new stuff every year. Most of the kids, they want new clothes, other stuff. They have lunch money. You need to decide whether they're going to take their lunch, whether they'll eat at school every day. Also, clothes, transportation, including times like these, you have to decide if you actually want to drive them over there, if you want them to take the bus, or if they're just going to carpool, as well as if they're into sports, whether the school is going to give them the equipment or whether you need to buy it. Now, the same thing goes with Christians. We have so many things that we can look forward to in the end, but tonight I want us just to look at the trying of our faith, looking forward to that, to running the Christian race and entering the kingdom of heaven. And as I've already said, I want to start off by looking at the trying of our faith. So go ahead and turn to James, the 1st chapter, verses 2 through 4. James, the 1st chapter, verses 2 through 4. And there it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." So first off, we need to look forward to the trying of our faith, and we need to count it all joy when we fall into divers temptations. And that basically, divers temptations, means different temptations, different trials. And why we need to look up to that is because it will bring us patience, and by that patience, we will become perfect, and not meaning Jesus perfect, but complete and mature in our Christianity. And also it will bring us the ability to receive the promise of God, as we read in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 36. Also, we need to look at the trying of our faith compared to that of the early Christians and the church of the first century. If you look at Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verses 36 through 38, it talks about everything that they had to go through there. Many of the early Christians were scourged, meaning brutally beaten. Others of them were put in bonds, meaning put in jail. And that would, at times and most often, lead to being martyred or basically being put to death for their faith. Also, talking about the trial of our faith, if you look at James, the first chapter, verse 12, if we endure the trials that come before, we are going to receive a crown of life. And that's going to lead us into the next topic, which is looking forward to running the Christian race. And if you want to, you can turn back to Philippians, the third chapter, verses 13 and 14 there. Now, in certain places, Paul compares a physical race to the spiritual race, or the race of Christianity. Since the Olympics are going on right now, it gives us the perfect example. During track and field, they have numerous races. They have the 100 meter, 50 meter, 200, and even some that are like the 10,000 meter, which I believe is about 8 miles. We're not talking about anything like the 100 meter or the 200 meter. We're talking about like the 10,000 meter when we're talking about the Christian race and comparing it. And in a race like that, you can't just hop up and start running. You have to have the endurance to be able to make that challenge, to meet that challenge. You have to have the perseverance. You have to constantly tell yourself that you can do it. You have to pace yourself perfectly, or else you're going to wear yourself out. And you have to keep that pace, or else you're going to fall behind and you're going to have too much to make up in the end. When we talk about the Christian race, we're talking about us making the race and meeting the calling of Christ, as we read in Hebrews, the third chapter, verse 1. Also, when we talk about our Christian race, it's escaping the devil. In 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verse 8, it says that he's a roaring lion. And in most cases, a roaring lion can be heard for miles around. So part of the race is getting through those hard times that are going to be put there and stuff like that happening. In the fact where, although our world is turned upside down or something happens that we don't know how we're going to get out of it, we still have the mental capabilities and we still have that mental attitude that we're going to get through it. And then going on to talking about the reward of that race and the physical race and stuff, for example, talking about the 10,000 meter race. I was watching it recently, and the winner, Mo Farah from Great Britain, he got a gold medal. That, in a lot of races, is the physical reward. When it comes to medals and stuff like that, that is a big reward. When it comes to the Olympics, getting a gold medal is basically the equal of being kind of like royalty there. You've represented your country. Well, when it comes to us, our reward isn't a gold medal, a bronze medal. It isn't any amount of money. When it comes to us, if you look at 1 Peter, the first chapter, verses 3 and 4, there it says, part of our reward will be an incorruptible inheritance. We will also get an incorruptible crown, as we see in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 and 27. And then our golden medal for a Christian is entering into the kingdom of heaven. That's our reward for running the Christian race. Go ahead and also turn to Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 21. That's Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 21. There it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." So, talking about entering into the kingdom of heaven, as we all know, just because we call upon his name or just because we follow him, we're not going to be able to get in. One thing we need to strive for when we want to look forward to entering into the kingdom of heaven is looking forward to the unseen things. Go ahead and also look at 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verses 17 and 18. That's 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verses 17 and 18. There we read, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So the unseen things are more important than the seen, because those unseen things that we've just read are the eternal things. If you also look at Hebrews, the 11th chapter, which is also known as the Hall of Faith, looking at verse 1, it gives us a definition of faith. And that there is, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that's not exactly what the verse says there. Basically, we need to look for those eternal things, the unseen things, because they're going to be more important than the seen things, which are temporal. We're not going to be able to take them to heaven with us. While, for example, the unseen things, we didn't see Christ die on the cross, yet we know what happened because we believe the Bible and it's written in the Bible. We can't see God, yet we know He's there. Even Hebrews 11, being known as the Hall of Faith, many of these people are mentioned, and they have faith because they listened to the unseen voice of God. They didn't have to see Him to believe Him. They heard His voice. And many times in the Bible it talks about God's voice and everyone listening to it. And then you had Moses writing the law, and that was the first time it was written down. Before then, he would talk to the Father, or he would talk to us just by His voice. He wouldn't have anything written down. Talking and then going on to those temporal things, the temporary, the physical things. If we look for those, looking at Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 19, there Jesus says that those temporal things, those physical things, those are going to be corrupted by moth and thieves. Then also, when you see the young man, or the young ruler, in Matthew 19, verses 16 through 21, he lost the kingdom of heaven because he held on to his physical things. If you look at it there, and paraphrasing again, he comes to Jesus asking Him what He must do to enter the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus, in shortened terms, basically says, follow the law, honor thy father and mother, and love the Lord with basically all of your soul, all your mind, all your heart. And He says, I've done these since I was a youth. And then Jesus replies to him, give away all your possessions for the poor. And it says that he walked away sorrowfully because he had much possessions. We need to look at the unseen things, because those temporal things, those physical things, those are going to make us lose the kingdom of heaven. And then also, once again, talking about receiving a crown of life, go ahead and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. That is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Here Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, with the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all that love His appearing. So again, talking in terms of a race, saying that he's kept the course. There are multiple ways that we can receive that crown of life. And a few of them, if you want to look at them. Once again, going to James, the 1st chapter, verse 12. We can receive the crown of life by enduring temptation. And then talking about a race again. Those racers like Mo Farah and Usain Bolt, one of the Jamaican 100-meter dash people that has been renowned since 08 for breaking the world record. If they don't abide by the rules, they don't get that gold medal. If they step out of their lane, or if they jump the gun, they're automatically disqualified. Looking at Titus, the 2nd chapter, verse 5, there we basically see if we will not receive the crown if we contend only, but only if we contend lawfully. Also, we can receive the crown of life if we bear our cross and follow Christ daily. You can find that in Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 24. If we put God first, we will receive a crown at the end times, as we see in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 24. If we worship God in spirit and in truth, as we see in chapter 4, verse 24. And if we love Jesus and keep His commandments, as we see in John the 14th chapter, verse 15. There are so many more other things that we have to do to be able to receive it. We must follow everything that is in the Bible. If we misplace one, or if we don't follow one thing down to the way it's written, then we cannot receive that crown. And you can go ahead and close your Bible. Because tonight we have noticed why we should look forward to the trying of our faith, and why we can look forward to the running of the Christian race, and look forward to entering the kingdom of heaven. And as I've just said, if we don't follow the whole Bible, then we cannot receive that crown of life. And so there are some here tonight that have not been baptized, as we're told in the Bible. Although it tells us many things that we can look forward to, it also tells us, if one has not been baptized, that they are unable to look forward to those things. However, one can follow the steps of salvation and be able to look forward to everything in the Bible. Those who at this time are not able to look forward to the kingdom of heaven yet can do so by following those steps, which they have already made the first step by hearing the word of God, as we see in Romans 10:17. After that, you must believe what you have heard, as we see in Acts, the 8th chapter, verse 37. Then one must have a change of heart and repent, as we see Peter saying in Acts, the 2nd chapter, verse 38. This change of heart will lead to the confession by mouth that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, also seen in Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. Then we must continue to live for Christ, as is referenced in Revelation, the 2nd chapter, verse 10. Now there are some here tonight who have been baptized, but have fallen away. If there are any here tonight like that, or in that state, you do not have the ability to look forward to entering into the kingdom of heaven, or receiving that crown of life at this time. And we're here to help you to come back to Christ, to be able to receive that crown of life, and to be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. If there are any here tonight that would like to come forward to ask for prayers, or to be baptized, then come forward as we stand and sing.